Sailing America with your host, Dr. Rebecca Carlin, the world's only court-qualified expert in vaccine-induced diseases.
Another edition of What's Ailing America. The views expressed on this broadcast are not endorsed by VBS Radio, its staff or management, but represent the views and opinions of the host, guests, and callers. Additionally, the information I share with you is not to be construed as medical advice. To learn about my work explaining and reversing Leadership Alliance, to learn how I transformed from a trauma surgeon to a court-qualified expert in vaccine-induced diseases, and how the medical mafia has responded to my stepping out of the box. I do consults for people and pets with autoimmune diseases, seizures, or cancer, and teach you how to reverse these conditions with natural therapies. I have clients all over the world and create your individual protocols based solely on your history alone. You do not need to travel to North Carolina to see me in person. Please call me at 828-294-0662 between 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Time any day of the week to learn how I do consults. My phone number is also on my website. I ask you to consider the information I share with you using your own innate intelligence, the common sense you were all given by your Creator. Do not believe anything I tell you. Check things out for yourself. For we have been lied to about everything. And each person must develop the ability to discern the truth for themselves if we are to extricate ourselves from the matrix of darkness that has evolved because we sat by and did nothing. My guests and I love to answer your questions, so feel free to call in. You can use your first name only if you like, and all shows are archived. The numbers to call in are listed on the BBSRadio.com website, Station 2, and include the following. Toll-free U.S. and Canada, 888-228-4494. Toll-free worldwide, 877-489-6350. You can also use Skype at BBS Radio or PalTalk at BBSRadio_com. Every week I will answer the question, What's Ailing America, with a different response, as well as share the good news as to what can heal America on many levels. My goal is to assist in the evolution of consciousness on this planet, for awareness of the truth shall set us free. And I know that once enough of us have become aware that we have been lied to about everything, including the fact that vaccines are good when they are actually inoculations with disease and thus are the true weapons of mass destruction, causing all autoimmune diseases and cancer, together we will be able to stop this holocaust on the health of people and pets. That truth, when put on top of the mountain of lies upon which this country is built, will cause the entire mountain of lies to crumble. It is time for everyone with a conscience to realize that if you don't stand up for the truth, you will fall for any lies. I can only show you the door. You have to walk through it. The question is, how far down the rabbit hole are you willing to go? Do not be afraid, for the truth shall set us free. And as the weak-willed puppets of darkness are being made visible to the public eye through shows such as this, the once feeble calls for cease and desist are becoming the roaring outcry, which will bring about the evolution of consciousness necessary to change everything. The next step in human evolution is to take responsibility for our lives and those in our care, to live in a sacred way, to do unto others and our earth as we would want done to ourselves. So please spread the word about these broadcasts, and remember, as Voltaire said, we are not only responsible for what we do, but also for what we don't do. And as Albert Einstein said, the world is a dangerous place, not because of those who do evil, but because of those who look on and do nothing. And that's a very important quote. show, where the title of our show is What's Ailing America, Fetal Tissue Harvesting or Vaccine. And I'm very happy to have on the show tonight two special guests, a husband and wife by the name of Dan and Donna Holman from Iowa. And as Dan wrote to me, more than a generation ago, Adolf Hitler wrote, if you wish the sympathy of broad masses, then you must tell them the crudest and most stupid things. Hitler convinced the German people that by killing off Jews, Gypsies, Polish, and other quote-unquote undesirable people groups, this would somehow make their lives better. Hitler's dream of ethnic cleansing led to the horrific executions of millions of European people. America today is on the same pathway as Nazi Germany. Every time history repeats itself, the price goes up. Frankensteinian sciences such as fetal tissue harvesting for DNA, genetic engineering, human cloning, and designer babies are the kissing cousins of aborticide. Donna Holman was born on an Iowa farm during the Great Depression. She remembers well the lessons of World War II. She is the oldest of five sisters and two brothers. Her family worked the watermelon fields and attended a one-room country schoolhouse. She married at age of 21 and reared six children. In 1972, she became aware and alarmed at America's growing acceptance of abortion. About the same time, she learned that vaccines were developed and produced inside the lungs of living babies, aborted but kept alive. Her mother bells were ringing. She intuitively knew that this was wrong. She refused to have her own children immunized. She discovered that the enemy plays dirty. Teachers, nurses, and doctors did an end run around Donna's will. They manipulated her husband into siding with them. They gave Donna's children vaccines without her knowledge or consent. This violation of her parental rights led Donna Holman into an undeclared war with social engineers of our day. She is sympathetic towards vulnerable single women and young mothers who are unaware of the wiles of the enemy. She makes packets of information on abortion and vaccines available to them and also distributes them widely. She and her husband, Dan, have founded Missionaries to the Preborn, Iowa. They go as uninvited guests to abortion clinics, college campuses, and special events to speak up for the babies slated for abortion. As Iowa is a springboard for presidential hopefuls, the Holmans are following presidential candidates around Iowa with their anti-abortion, anti-vaccine message. And from what I hear, they have been following Hillary Clinton around recently. That must be some rather dirty work. But I would like to welcome you to the show, Dan and Donna. Are you there?
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are.
Okay. And I just want to start the show with Donna explaining how the corrupt courts are now getting involved with her mission. From what I understand, because you and Dan do protests, some minion actually accused you of harassing a young woman that was going for an abortion. And if you could just tell the listeners what's happening to you and how you are being dragged through the courts because of your stand for life.
I was a sidewalk counselor at Planned Parenthood in Iowa City, and we had access to the women who were going in. We could walk right up to the door, which was on the alley. And one of the things that I would say was, God commands, thou shalt not murder. And if both doors were open at the same time, then the people inside the waiting room could hear me. And so they didn't like those people hearing me say that. So they set me up, worked with the police, and set me up so that I was charged with harassment. And they gave me either 30 days in jail or probation, 1 year probation. And I was supposed to get a psychiatric evaluation and do whatever the psychiatrist told me to do.
Oh, okay, wait, two questions. First of all, just to clarify for the listeners, Donna, who are you accused of harassing? Is it a person or just in general?
The two the girl who was getting an abortion and the woman who brought her to
okay.
the abortion facility.
Okay. And in terms of getting a psychiatric evaluation, now, of course, the listeners who listen to the show on a regular basis certainly realize that the psychiatrists are used all the time in this fashion. This is their MO, their modus operandi. What they try to do is get people who speak out against any heinous activity that's happening in this country labeled as mentally ill. Because once you're labeled as mentally ill, then they can say you're a danger to yourself or others, and they can put you on psychiatric drugs, and next thing you know, you have a chemical lobotomy. So that's very heinous, but totally expected, Donna. And just continue with your story. Have you agreed to undergo, quote-unquote, psychiatric evaluation? And were you allowed to pick who would evaluate you should you go through with this ridiculous request?
My husband and I went to San Diego, California, and picketed the OBGYN convention. And when we were there, there was a family counselor there who was a psychologist who volunteered her time to do a psychologist evaluation on me, and since it was free and she was volunteering her time, I let her do that. But then the judge didn't accept that. She wanted me to have a psychiatric evaluation by an Iowa psychiatrist who would prescribe medication for me.
Exactly. So did you agree to go through with that?
No. I read a verse in the Bible, and it's in Isaiah chapter 30, and it says, "Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me." So I feel that our counsel should be God's word, or, you know, from the Bible, not from a psychiatrist.
Of course, and I've also spoken on the show many times, especially a show that I did in regards to the spiritual assault, which are inoculations, and I encourage all the listeners to check that out in the archives a few months ago. It took me 10 years to find a pastor or priest who would talk about the spiritual aspect of inoculating yourself with dead babies and viruses and all these things. But all of these things are in Scripture in terms of, and let me also say, in all Scriptures, not just the Bible. But everywhere, all religions, it basically says that one of the most sacred things that we have is our body temple, and we're supposed to keep it holy, and we're supposed to not put poison into it. And certainly psychiatric drugs would be, you know, amongst those poisons that we are not supposed to put inside of ourselves, and that's the reason why they're using these white-coated hoods, basically, to force people to undergo psychiatric treatment, which is actually a chemical lobotomy. It's a way to restrain people chemically. So I'm very proud of you, Donna, that you refused to undergo this ridiculous evaluation and treatment, because, of course, you can see the writing on the wall. You know exactly what their purpose is. And what has happened since you refused to follow the judge's ridiculous order?
The last time I had a hearing on October 23rd, and 19 people from four different states came and stood with me. But it happened to be Right to Life's Day of Silence. So when I went into the court, I figured that the babies don't have a voice. So I just wouldn't say anything either. So I just remained silent the whole time.
And so what happened because you...
Well, I guess she was intimidated by the 19 people who came and stood with me. So
yeah.
She took me into the chamber, her chamber all by myself with the state's attorney. And the state's attorney suggested that, what do you call that?
Be charged with contempt.
Yeah, be charged with contempt of court because I wasn't saying anything. And then she said, well, I guess I will take your silence to mean that you need another 90 days to get your psychiatric evaluation. So she thinks that I'm going to get a psychiatric evaluation in the next 90 days, but I don't plan to do that.
We've drafted a motion, in fact. It's a short motion. I could read it if you'd like.
Okay.
You know, regarding the next hearing.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Now comes the defendant, Donna Jean Holman, pro se, being of sound mind and a sound body, pursuant to Iowa Code Section 902.4, to move this court to reconsider its sentence in the above-titled case. I find it strange and disingenuous for a woman, especially for a mother, not to recognize the humanity and worth of a child in the womb. I find it especially strange and abhorrent that a female judge should somehow think it is normal for Planned Parenthood to systematically kill babies in the womb, but abnormal for me to oppose these serial killers. Is it not hypocritical for this court to acknowledge a woman's purported right in seeking medical help for destroying her child while denying me the basic right to refuse medical help? I believe psychiatry to be a pseudoscience on par with astrology, fortune-telling, and palm reading. Must I be punished for my refusal to recognize psychiatry as a legitimate medical science? What gives this court the right to order medical help for me, which I have no need or desire? Is it not my body, my choice? Must I also ingest mind-altering prescribed psychotropic drugs to satisfy this court order? Does this court routinely order psychiatric evaluations for misdemeanor convictions? If I were physically or mentally impaired, I should indeed be pitied. This court is apparently questioning my morality. This court is acting as if it were lawful and morally righteous to slaughter the unborn. Yet 35 years ago, it was unlawful and unrighteous. Does changing the law change morality? Does changing the law change right or wrong? Does changing the law change the reality of aborticide? In 1856, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that a Negro is chattel. By denying Dred Scott his freedom, slavery was made safe and legal. Had I stood before this court for opposing slavery or the Jim Crow laws instead of aborticide, would this court suspect me of being mentally deficient or ill? Prior to 1973 Roe v. Wade decision, the humanity of the unborn was understood. His status as a legal person was unquestioned. It is the same perversion of law which refused to recognize the humanity and worth of the Negro that denies equal protection under the law to the child in the womb. Outside of this courthouse, I have demonstrated many times the humanity and worth of the preborn child. I have shown aborted baby pictures, which should excite a compassion on behalf of these children. I have also distributed literature with statistics of abortions in Iowa on these very courthouse steps. One out of every three children in Iowa is killed by aborticide. The Iowa Department of Public Health reports 7,564 Iowa children terminated in 2006. It is a great evil which permits this Holocaust under a color of law. It is unjust for this court to find me guilty of harassment, to permanently enjoin me from performing my ministry to the preborn at Planned Parenthood, to sentence me to a year's probation, and orders me to get a psychiatric exam and obey psychiatric advice. Since I have been enjoined from being at Planned Parenthood, there is nobody there to advise desperate women against aborticide. In consideration of the 4 days I have been incarcerated for this unjust conviction, I respectfully request that this court prayerfully reconsider my sentence.
Have you submitted that yet?
No, I'm going to submit it on January 3rd because of the fact that we're going to be leaving for South Carolina on January 4th, and I don't want her want them taking her into custody before her hearing date.
Yeah, that's what I would call a very powerful bit of legal work. I mean, it basically puts the truth right out there. And if you could just tell the listeners, I don't know how many listeners we have in your area, but you need all the court watchers you can get. So if you could just tell our listeners, when is the next court date and possibly some of the listeners could come to support Donna, because whether you agree with abortion or not, this is a free speech issue, in my opinion, and I'm going to be talking a little bit about my views on abortion, because this is important information for people to realize. But you should be allowed to have a free right to free speech, of course. And, you know, of course, they don't tell these young women the psychological consequences of what they're about to do, the physical consequences. I mean, it's been proven that there's physical consequences to having an abortion. And not to mention the fact that's a shocking number that you're giving. A third of the babies conceived in Iowa are aborted.
It's probably higher than that.
There are so many people in this country lined up to go to foreign countries to adopt children. There are so many hungry arms waiting for a baby to come into their lives. And the idea that they're just being slaughtered, and we're going to get into why they're being slaughtered, the population reduction and pharmacological resource that they are. But, of course, this is totally outrageous that these young women would not have access to someone else to get their view. I'm sure that Donna is not harassing them. I'm sure that she's just giving them literature and offering them an opportunity to speak to her to consider the other side of things, correct?
Well, the trial was a total sham. This is the second time that they tried her without having the constitutional right to confront her witnesses. We subpoenaed these Jane Doe's that accused Donna of harassment. They didn't show up for court. The case should have been dismissed, but instead they proceeded without the witnesses and found her guilty without the witnesses. So, I mean, it was just an outrageous thing.
That's what tells you that there are no witnesses. That basically these are government moles, that they had signed an affidavit, they probably weren't even there, and they can't let them come to court because they're probably not even pregnant. But I'm just curious, Dan, why weren't you charged with harassment?
Well, I think I came pretty close. I was videotaping the whole thing, and I think it was just really an act of God that I didn't get charged. I was actually much louder and much more demonstrative than Donna was. But what it was is they had her set up, because the wolves prey on the weakest person in the pack. You know, I mean, wolves prey on the weak. And Donna is a weaker person than I am, so they thought she would be easier to prey upon. If they get rid of her, they get rid of me.
She may be weaker physically, but I think her spirit is about as strong as they come. And
her determination, her determination is stronger than mine. but she still is a weaker vessel. You know, I mean, when it comes to these things.
Right. Before I forget, if you could just tell the listeners the date and the court where this atrocity is supposed to continue.
Okay, it's going to be January 15th at 8:30 at Iowa City, Iowa, the Johnson County Courthouse, and
it's across from the post office.
Right. So it's Iowa City, and if they would like more information, I'll give you my contact information.
Okay.
They can contact us by email at truthvan, that's one word, T-R-U-T-H-V-A-N, truthvan@yahoo.com, or they can call me at 319-524-5587, and we can help them with housing and if they need to stay overnight someplace. But
okay.
We're going to rally the troops, and we hope to have more than 19 people there on that date.
It's very important, I want to stress this, in any case where anyone has to go to court. As you heard Dan say, that the judge was intimidated by there being 19 people there. The only thing that I wish is that Donna would have refused to go into chambers, because the reason they drag you into chambers is because then things go off the record. But that's very important for them to have as many court watchers as possible. They get very nervous when people are observing what's actually happening. And I just want to say it's actually quite funny. I saw a notice on, I have a satellite television, and I saw a notice recently that on January 1st, Court TV is becoming True TV. So I just thought that was pretty funny. They're not even bothering to show court hearings anymore on television because it's such a sham. So now it's going to become True TV. Unfortunately, there's not going to be any court hearings on True TV because that would be an oxymoron. But I do hope that you will contact me and actually call into the show after the hearing to let the listeners know what's going on. I know this is a very controversial issue. A lot of people view abortion as a quote-unquote, you know, pro-choice state of mind, that women have a right to determine what happens to their body. And I understand that this is controversial, but this is yet another way that the powers that be divide and conquer us. And because of that, I just want to state three reasons why I personally am against abortion. And then I want to have Dan and Donna talk about how they also explain to people what's being done with these dead babies in terms of vaccines, because they are the only anti-abortion protesters that I have ever run across that bring that to light. And that is such an important thing for people to know, that what they're doing with these dead babies, they're making vaccines out of them. And it's a spiritual assault. And once again, I will encourage you to listen to the show that I did with Pastor Jessica Wirth, where she actually talked about the spiritual assault of vaccinations, how it is adultery of our body temple. And we actually had a caller call in, one of my clients, whose son was actually possessed by a demon after getting inoculated with a meningitis vaccine. And trust me, that's not an easy thing for a mother to talk about. But after she spoke to me what was going on with her son, I didn't come to that conclusion. She came to it herself. And it's very evil what's going on. But I just want to explain to the listeners why I myself am against abortion. Well, first of all, I tried very hard to get pregnant with my son, Joey, who I've had no contact with for almost 5 years now. I unfortunately didn't know about natural things. I was 42 years old when I was trying to get pregnant, and I went through all these fertility treatments and almost lost my eyesight and developed a very big problem with the muscles in my leg, having to have many injections, couldn't walk for a number of weeks. It was not pretty. But, of course, I wanted a child desperately. So for me to even conceive of a woman not wanting the child, first of all, I mean, I know sometimes they're a little inconvenient, but to not want your own baby, I can't even conceive of that. But I just do want to also mention that before I went to medical school, I was a diagnostic medical sonographer. And what this means is I actually worked in the field of ultrasound. I actually worked at Mount Sinai Hospital in New York City for a year before I went to medical school, where I worked in a high-risk pregnancy clinic taking ultrasounds of pregnant women, women who wanted their babies in most cases, and they sent us the babies. They had severe deformities, and most of these women really wanted to keep their babies. But when you do ultrasound on babies, and now they actually have 3D ultrasound where you can see the faces of these babies. These babies suck their thumb. They do somersaults. You can see, especially the little boys, you know, go to the bathroom. You can actually see them urinate. These are little humans in the womb, and you can see them doing all kinds of things. The reason I finally left Mount Sinai was, much to my horror, they actually had a case there where a woman had twins, and it was determined that one of the twins was defective, and I actually had to participate in an act of genocide where the doctor put a needle into the heart of the defective baby and extracted all the baby's blood. And I had to do the ultrasound to document that the baby was dead. And that's the reason. that I finally left Mount Sinai because I found that just to be a horror show. It was unbelievable for me to watch what they were doing as they selectively murdered the baby that was not perfect so that the mother could deliver, you know, one other baby. And I'm sure that's not going to be mentioned to little Johnny down the road. So that's the first thing that made me realize that these are little humans. But seeing them on ultrasound and knowing that these babies can feel pain, because I can assure you that the little baby that was having his heart perforated with a needle and having the blood exsanguinated made it very obvious that he wasn't happy with that procedure. Secondly, there came about an instance in medical school when I did my OBGYN rotation where I was actually forced to witness abortion. And I had a real problem with that, and I'll tell you why in a second. But this was beyond horrific, to watch these doctors suck out body parts of little babies during the abortion procedure. And, of course, there was no counseling of the young women beforehand. It's the same as any other procedure. Sign on the dotted line. You're giving your informed consent. You know, take off your clothes, put on this hospital gown, and we'll get you in a few minutes. And I also saw cases where the uterus of the woman was perforated by the instrument that they used to do the abortion. And, of course, they never warned the woman of that either, that this actual procedure can cause death. If your uterus is perforated, in other words, it's ruptured during an abortion procedure, that's not going to be compatible with life. And if you're at some clinic, there's a very high chance that you're going to die before you can ever reach the hospital. Not to mention the fact that I actually, unfortunately, and I got physically ill and had to go to the bathroom to vomit after witnessing one of these abortions that now that they're doing in the later stage of pregnancy, where they actually take the baby's head out and suck the brains out, and watching that procedure being done. You know, that's like a Twilight Zone moment where you feel like you're actually watching, you know, something that would happen in Nazi Germany. And to make it even worse, as I said, we were forced to do this. There was many things I was forced to do as a medical student and a surgery doctor, and that's the reason I left the profession, because there came a point where I could not participate in this anymore, despite the fact that I spent 17 years after high school educating myself to do it, despite the fact I'd spent hundreds of thousands of dollars on school loans to get this degree. I just couldn't do it anymore. And now I realize there's a reason I went through it, because I'm going to tell you everything that happened on different shows as we go through this. But the last thing I want to share with the listeners is just to let you know who's being aborted. Because as it turns out, and this is a very personal thing, but I decided I wanted to share this with the listeners, on my 16th birthday, my mother, who was killed by the White Coats a few, you know, weeks ago, as it turns out, a prophet is not known in their own land, and who am I to know better than the other doctors she was going to, and they killed my mother a few weeks ago, and that's another story. But on my 16th birthday, my mother took me aside and basically confessed to me that she had been involved with some man and gotten pregnant 4 times and had 2 abortions, and I was one of the lucky ones. That's exactly what her words were to me. And so, you see, I had to face the fact that it was basically a roll of the dice. This turned out that when she got pregnant with me and my sister, she decided not to go through this procedure. Now, I'm 53 years old. I never did get around to asking her, how did you even find somebody to do an abortion 53 years ago? I mean, you know, it was illegal, you know, to say the least. But that's what she did. And that was a horror that I had to, you know, endure from that day forward. And every time I would even hear the word, or I would see the procedure, or see these little babies on ultrasound, especially when I was pregnant with my own son, and I could start to feel him move, and I just couldn't wait for him to be born. And, of course, this is why the medical mafia and all their dark affiliates took my only child away from me, because there's no greater assault that you could do to a mother than to take away her child. But this is the reason that I am so passionate about this issue, and I've not talked about it on the show before because I know that it's very divisive. And as a matter of fact, I've gotten more unsubscribes to my list from putting out the blast about this show than on any other show I've ever done. And really, that disgusts me because, you know, why can't you just listen and hear the other side? What I've realized is that people are afraid. They're afraid to face the truth. They don't want to know what's really going on because, as Dan wrote to me, he actually got an unsubscribe from somebody on his list that he's related to, and he realized that there's probably some baby bones in that person's closet. Despite that fact, I mean, even if you've done the wrong thing, you have to realize that it's wrong. We can all be redeemed. We can all be forgiven. We all make mistakes. But that's not a reason to put your head in the sand and continue to make those mistakes. So I just wanted the listeners to know, if you think I'm doing important work, I'm only here because my mother decided not to have an abortion, when I was conceived. So do you have any comments about that, Dan or Donna?
Wow, that was really a good testimony. You know, there's a lot of things that went through my mind. I'm sure there's a lot of things that went through through your listeners' minds, too, because we all have a story, and we all know people who have had abortions. I think a lot of them are close to us, people in our own family. And but you really said a lot, and I really appreciate what you know your testimony. You're sharing that personal part. I know it's difficult for a lot of people to do that, but it really needs to be screamed from the rooftops because of the fact that there are young girls that are naive, that are bedeviled, that don't know the truth, and from a little girl on, they're conned into thinking that it's okay to be promiscuous, that abortion is okay, and they don't know what it is until years later. And then a lot of people can't even deal with it. They can't even come to look at themselves honestly or look at it honestly. And we know this because, when we are out on the street and we have the pictures of the aborted babies, or it doesn't matter whether you have pictures or whether you have a sign, when you bring it to their mind, the pain of it and the guilt and everything else just comes flooding out, and you hear it. And
yes.
People are either broken or they're angry, you know, regarding it. But
and it's bad enough, I just want to say it's bad enough, you hear about women all the time that are searching for the children they've given up for adoption. You know, that's painful enough. But
right.
Imagine a woman having to say to themselves, well, you know, my child would be X number of years old now, but unfortunately they don't even exist because I decided it was inconvenient to give birth to this child. I mean, that is so evil in my eyes, and it's just unbelievable that the government is not only condoning this, but they're actually pushing it. And I want to bring it back around again to one of the main reasons they are pushing it. Actually, two reasons, one of which is population reduction. And as I always tell the listeners, I have proof of everything I say or I don't say it. I have transcripts of Henry Kissinger in front of Congress talking about population reduction being a national security issue. So, of course, we're reducing the population in many ways. We're having wars. We're giving vaccines with human chorionic gonadotropin, which is basically a way to make women abort their own babies when they get pregnant, and we're promoting abortion. We're calling it choice. Isn't it amazing how abortion is choice, but as soon as, you know, that baby travels down the birth canal, killing becomes murder? I've never been able to figure that out.
Right. It's just perplexing. You know, that it goes on and that the courts uphold it, and everybody acts like it's normal. But one of the reasons why doctors, you know, are silenced by it is because they know that they're going to lose their medical license, as you have, you know, for coming against the American Medical Association or the OBGYN, where they get their licensing. And they're afraid of losing their security and all of the, you know, years it takes them to, you know, to get the license and become a doctor. And a lot of them are bought off. And there is a defilement that happens. As we mentioned earlier in the program, that some common vaccines that are developed, you know, from the living cells of aborted babies. And there's a defilement, a spiritual defilement that happens when you are injected with that concoction, with that witch's brew.
Yeah.
You become defiled. You are participating, even though maybe unwittingly, you know, in the whole Holocaust that's happening. And
well,
there's
I have
blood guilt.
Let me please interject that, you know, they always say in court, ignorance is no excuse, and I will agree medically that's true as well. To just, like, go and let yourself be injected with stuff without checking it out, in my mind, is very irresponsible, although I will confess the reason I am who I am, what I am today, is because I believed the white coats when I went through medical school and my own son got inoculated and was brain damaged with vaccines. And that's what started me on this road. But I have made an analogy to cannibalism. This is cannibalism. What is the difference between eating a dead baby or having it injected into your bloodstream?
Right.
It's
cannibalism.
Spiritual assault. And that's why I know in my heart of hearts that this is being done intentionally. The people that are doing this at the top levels, that are intentionally doing all the things that they're doing, they know very well what the spiritual ramifications of this are. They could be using any animal, monkey kidneys, all this kind of stuff, like they did for many years. Why have they started going to fetuses to use them for tissue cultures for viruses? And actually, I was so grateful to Donna because she provided me with, references from the physician's desk reference from many years ago that they actually wrote in their doctor lingo that they were using aborted fetuses way back when. You know, it's starting to come out now that they're doing this, but this is something I didn't know was going on. And maybe if Donna could come on and talk a little bit about that, because I know that's one of the things that woke her up and made her check the vaccine issue out.
In 1972, there was an article in the Des Moines Register, and it said safer, cheaper vaccines made using human cells. And then it said prepared with living human tissue cells. For Dr. Leonard Hayflick, a 44-year-old professor of medical microbiology at Stanford University, and then it said all vaccines eventually can be produced with human cells. And then the article went on to say, he began growing human cells from the lung of a surgically aborted fetus. And then it was called WI-38 cells had been used by the military too, it said.
Red flag on the military there. Okay, keep going.
Okay, as I did more research, I found out that what they did was they took babies that were aborted that were still alive, and then they kept them alive so that they could grow the virus in the baby's lung cells.
How did you find that out, Donna? I want you to repeat that. That is straight from hell. How did you find out that they were doing that? Please repeat that.
Well, I just, you know, read and read and read everything that I could about vaccines. And it said that they took babies that were aborted, that were still alive, and they kept them alive so they could grow the virus in the baby's lung cells, because the viruses can only be grown in a culture of living cells. In other words, formerly they were grown in like eggs, you know, which some of them are fertilized and they're alive, or monkeys. And I guess the aborted babies were cheaper than monkeys, buying monkeys. But right now, in order to get into preschool in Iowa, children need to have 50 doses of this poison. And then when they go into elementary school, they need 20 more. That's a total of 70 doses of vaccines, you know, which sounds really outrageous. But when people go, they don't realize, you know, they're getting diphtheria, tetanus, pertussis, polio, and influenza type B. Maybe they get 5 when they go to the doctor when they're 2 months old. And then they go to the doctor again when they're 6 months old, and then 15 months old, and 18. And each time, you know, they get maybe 8 doses or more. Mm-hmm. So it adds up to 70 doses in all. And then 14 of the current vaccines use human cells derived from aborted fetal tissue. And there are some that do not have abortion-free alternatives in the United States. For instance, chickenpox and rubella and the new HIV. There's no alternative.
Just give a website, Donna, that the listeners could go to learn about that, that's the triple W's, COG, that stands for Children of God, COGforLife.org. That entire website is dedicated to exposing this exact subject that Donna's talking about, the vaccines that are derived from aborted fetuses. And the only problem I have with that site is that, in my opinion, it's all spiritually unsound. To have any of these dead animals injected into you is bad enough, but to use dead babies is like the top of the line in terms of evil. And one of the most disgusting documents I ever received, which I don't have in front of me, it's buried since I moved. I still haven't organized all my stuff. I have so much. But from what I understand, the Vatican has actually put out a document pretty much excusing people for using vaccines derived from aborted fetuses if there's no other alternative. And they've subdivided evil into different categories, and they're pretty much, you know, just writing this off as like, it's okay. Not to mention the fact that the Vatican and other spiritual leaders, there's a very high Jewish person, and I forget the other groups, but they've actually started a $1 billion vaccine bond. So they are involved in this genocide being promoted by vaccines. And I've even had people from different churches tell me that they're having vaccine clinics in the churches. And it's totally insane. But this is what people have to realize, and they have to start asking their spiritual leaders of whatever religion they happen to be involved in, how can you promote this? Because, you see, if you don't have your health, you have nothing. And if you're going to sit in church and listen to the sermons, and, you know, be spiritually educated or, you know, anything, your mind has to be able to be working. And obviously, my documents are proving that the vaccines are causing all autoimmune diseases and cancer, including all the neurological conditions which prevent people from thinking properly, autism being at the top of the list. But people have to start to ask themselves, why aren't your leaders, your spiritual leaders, your medical leaders, why aren't these people checking this stuff out? Because even when you think about it, just common sense, it drives me crazy when people say, well, I'm not a medical doctor, so I don't have the background to, you know about this or that. If you have common sense and you still have a conscience, you should be able to realize that what Donna's talking about, aborting fetuses and then keeping them alive. Now, we know that they can deliver a premature infant now at a tiny, tiny little, you know, weight, very young age, and they can keep them alive and they can let them grow up and be normal. And how come it's okay if they take that same baby and abort it, and call it abortion instead of calling it, you know, an early delivery, and keep it alive for the purpose of growing viruses? Like it's some kind of, I can't even say like it's an animal because that's evil to animals as well. But it's like you said, the babies are cheaper. Where have we gone? I mean, I can't even express my outrage. And when I just picture, you know, all these different bumper stickers, like I said, God bless America. Why would God bless us? Look what's going on here, people. How much are you going to put up with? That's the question I would ask.
Well, you know, you're absolutely right when you mention that, you know, the Catholic Church, you know, has sanctioned the use of vaccines. We have a letter from Father Frank Pavone for Priests for Life, and this is a pro-life, you know, organization, a Catholic pro-life organization, that says it's all right to use the vaccines because the babies are already dead and it doesn't matter anymore. You know, the cell line has been established and so there's no future harm to that baby. But he doesn't take into consideration the defilement of being injected because we're like partaking in a crime. You know,
cannibalism.
Right.
Cannibalism.
Right.
Yes.
A heinous crime. And it is cannibalism. We're using cannibalism can be defined as using another person's body parts to benefit yourself, to increase your strength or your health or your looks or whatever. That's the reason why the cannibals in Papua New Guinea, cannibalize other tribes. You know, they eat the muscles of a strong man, you know, because they think it's going to enhance their physique, or they'll eat the brain, you know, of a smart man because they think it'll make themselves smarter. And, so the whole idea behind it is cannibalism. And, you know, so that, really upsets me, you know, when, a priest or a religious person can't see the spiritual implications and the defilement, you know, that happens, and the partaking of blood, the shedding of innocent blood, and the blood guilt that's conferred upon us by being a partaker of the crime. Even when we do it unwittingly, you know, there is consequences to it. You know, there's more or less culpability towards it, but there's consequences towards it. You can come into contact with a diseased person unwittingly and still come down with the disease. But when you take, when you do it with knowledge, with carnal knowledge, the implications are far worse.
Yes, I totally agree with you.
A lot of people don't believe, you know, what I tell them when I say that they're made from living cells from aborted babies. And I just want to say, get the package insert that comes with the vaccine and read what it says. I have in my hand Merrick and Company, measles, mumps, and rubella virus vaccine live. And then if you look under description, it says rubella virus grown in human diploid cell WI38 culture. And then you go down to references and it says, with a strain cultured from an aborted fetus. And then if you look under adverse reactions, it says convulsions, seizures, encephalitis. I don't know if I say that word right. It means brain damage. Nervous system reactions, central nervous system reactions. See, you're playing vaccine roulette.
Exactly. And we have a caller on the line. Is anybody there?
Yes. Hi, Doc. This is Billy Hoffman calling from Northern Michigan. Warm greetings to you and to Dan and Donna Holman. Thank you for the program.
Okay.
Hey, thanks, Billy.
Hi there, Dan. Hi, Donna. Three quick comments. When Dr. Carly, you were referring to these poor infants who have been aborted but yet being kept alive, I could not help but think of the scripture, a righteous man regardeth the life of his beast, but the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. And also, real briefly, in Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Therefore, the people that doth not understand shall fall, And then my final comment would be if from the middle verse of the Holy Bible, Psalm 118, verse 8, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. I thank you folks for your efforts. I know this is quite a battle, and there are many people paying attention, so thank you very much.
Well, thank you for calling in, and I will just say for those people who are not familiar with the Bible, whether you're familiar with those scriptures or not, as we're discussing cannibalism and things of that nature, and not to mention the fact, if you go to drcarley.com and read my documents, you will realize the depths of the disease and death that vaccinations are causing. So, yes, it's true. The people are being destroyed for lack of knowledge. But you can't just blame that on the fact that you're ignorant. People have to check things out for themselves. That's why I always tell people, don't believe anything I say. Check things out for yourself, because we've been lied to about everything. And as Donna said, get the package inserts from your pediatrician when they're giving the vaccines to your child. Don't just sign that vaccine information statement, which, of course, they always give you after the vaccine so that you won't see that it actually says that seizures and deaths are a possible consequence. Demand that they give you the package insert if you're going to be stupid enough to get the vaccine in the first place. Check these things out for yourself. Even though they don't give the true extent of the side effects, they do tell you enough where you realize that you would be insane to get these things injected into you once you know what they're really all about. Whether or not you're pro-abortion or anti-abortion, I hope that you're considering what we're telling you about the spiritual aspect of this, but this is total insanity. The idea that you can take viruses grown in body parts of animals and people and add mercury and formaldehyde and aspartame and God only knows what other toxins to it and inject this into a human being as a health procedure. This is total insanity, and this is being done on purpose to kill us, to make us sick. And that is what I want the listeners to realize. And it's time for us to all get together. We've been divided for so long, religiously, culturally, financially, the rich versus the poor. It's time for us to all come together and realize that the one thing we all have in common is that we want to live, and we want to live with health, and we want to be able to enjoy life, a life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. What happened to that? You know, that's what we should all be getting together and confronting those serpents in the District of Criminals who are pretending to represent us, but in fact are selling us out, are bowing to their masters, the beasts from the pharmaceutical cartels, and are taking money hand over fist and stuffing it in their back pockets to create all this legislation to force people, and it's not just children now, it's the elderly in nursing homes as well. And they're coming out with adult vaccine schedules. And, of course, the bird flu vaccine has been licensed. The bird flu vaccine will cause the bird flu pandemic. The bird flu pandemic will put us into martial law. And President Bush has already written an executive order that if there's martial law in effect next November, there will be no elections, people, and Bush will remain dictator. So I want you to consider all of these things. We're actually out of time already. I want to thank our guests, Dan and Donna, so much. And I ask you to please come on the show, call in after Donna's hearing to let us know how it all worked out. I will be keeping you in my prayers as well that you will be safe from this monster sitting in a black robe over you, that this person will realize that this is not a good idea, because they're going to, you know, face the consequences of this down the line. And that
well,
all
thank
of you
for having us on your show.
Thank you. And that all of you would tell your friends to check out the archives. Go to bbsradio.com and click on archives. This will be up by the end of the weekend. I encourage you to make copies of the show and give it out widely to make people realize what's really going on. And Dan and Donna, I send you such a big hug. I am so proud of you for what you're doing. that you're putting the vaccine and the abortion issue together, and I encourage you to suggest that other anti-abortion protesters do the same thing, because this is what's going to make the people realize what the actual agenda is of these serpents who are destroying our world, that they are doing this on purpose.
For those that have ears to hear and eyes to see.
Amen. Okay. All right. Thank you, both of you. Have a good night. And stay tuned next week, folks. We're going to have Dr. True Ott on to talk about the history of medicine, and that's going to be a real wake-up call. He's going to be on for 3 weeks. So God bless all of you, and I wish you a happy new year. Bye-bye.